Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do so each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program called Searching the Scriptures that airs right after this program, 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6. Please give it a look. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find all of the TV programs that you can download and look at your leisure, and a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in your study of God's book. Please, give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You'll always be warmly received. We have one desire, for you to see the need for God in your life and to develop a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died in order to save you from your sin. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call us. Today, we're going to begin a series that will last for a couple of months on the subject about God. Now, maybe that's something you think you know something about, and maybe you think you know all about God. But what we're going to do in these lessons is we're going to look at different attributes that the Bible talks about when it describes who God is and what God does. We want to begin with a very simple passage of Scripture and a very plain truth. In John chapter 4, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well and talking about true worship. And in verse 24 of John chapter 4, we can read, "God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And so we want to begin this series about who God is by talking about God as a spirit. God's nature is spiritual. He is a spiritual being. And we need to understand that and we need to appreciate that. In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." You see, God's a spiritual character. And there, when Jesus was resurrected, He was pointing to the fact that He had a physical body there, that He had overcome death, because the spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. It's not a mixture of matter. It's not a visible substance. Not a refined matter. Not made up of atoms. It's no physical body. God doesn't have that type of an existence. God is not refined matter, such as early philosophers described the soul, nor is He made up with the smallest atoms, nor composed of any material substance. The Bible talks about His hands, His eyes, and His feet in passages like Isaiah 59 and Isaiah 65, but such statements do not mean He has a physical body. They're just using inanimate objects in order to tell you about His nature. And so this is what we call figurative language. In Psalms 11 and verse 4, it talks about He understands everything. In Psalms 11 and verse 4, His face, He has watchful care. He's watchful and He hears our prayers, 1 Peter 3:12. His mouth, the revelation of His will. We read that in Proverbs 2 and verse 6, where He revealed His mind. And the heart, the sincerity of His affections towards us. We can see when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And His hand, the strength of His power and His might and all the things that He can do. He spoke the world in existence in 3 days. He sustains it by His word. He is the creator of all life in this universe. And so He has great and awesome power. And we will talk about that in one of these lessons. He also is the invisible God. Many people don't believe Him because they can't see Him. It's silly not to believe Him because we can't see Him, but we have many people who do not. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. "To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise and honor and glory forever and ever." In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15, that same truth is taught. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, "In the image of the invisible God." You see, He's invisible. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't believe in Him because we can't see Him with the human eye. Moses did not see him when he came down from Mount Sinai in Deuteronomy 4, verse 15 and 16, but he came down with his laws. He had not seen him, but he had been in his presence, and that's why his face shone. And there was one time he put him in the cleft of the rock, and he could see his back, but he could not see his face. This left Israel without excuse if they attempted to make a visible representation of God in the form of an idol, in which they did, because idols were forbidden. But while he was up on the mountain, they made the golden calf in Exodus 32, and many of them lost their lives, and God was very angry with them because they had went into idolatry. And we need to know in John chapter 1, in verse number 18, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, and verse number 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Nobody's seen God, but does that mean God doesn't exist because we have not seen him? No, we don't need to see him because we see all the evidence all around us. Consider, God is a spirit, but this does not mean that he is a mere ideal or an impersonal essence. Being a spirit does not mean that he's nothing more than an impersonal essence of something. God is an actual person. He loves, he speaks, he expresses his will, he loves, and he has wrath. Men saw a toned-down appearance of God in Genesis chapter 32 and 30 when Moses went up to see him on Mount Sinai. In such verses, men saw only a vision, a toned-down appearance of God. No man has seen God fully revealed, nor seen him as he is in his natural state. They heard his voice. He allowed them to hear his voice, but after they heard his voice, they didn't want to hear it anymore. Read Exodus 19. You see, God is not a man. He doesn't think like a man. He doesn't reason like a man. He's a spirit. He's a spiritual being, and he had no beginning and ending because he is God. When the Bible speaks of him being clothed in white, it is speaking of his holy purity. His white here is talking about his wisdom in Daniel 7, verse 9. The Ancient of Days, as he's called in Daniel 7, verse 13, is talking about his eternal nature. We cannot fashion God after our own imagination. We cannot place any of our physical limitations on God because they will not work. God is not politically correct. He's not a believer in all religion. He's not an advocate of things that are sinful and wrong according to his will and according to his word. He's not our buddy. He's not our pal. He's not our daddy in the air. Neither does he understand when we sin because sin is contrary to his nature. He does not place a higher priority on love and commandments. That is what he wants us to do because they are how we demonstrate our love to him. One day we will see him. Revelation 22, verse 4 and 1 John 3, verse 2 say one day we will see him as he is, but not now. But now we just have to accept that he is a spiritual being with no beginning and ending because he is eternal. Now God is personal. He's not some sort of impersonal influence. Rather, he consistently represented as he or as father. Human beings are created spirits in physical bodies, and we are persons, not influences. Obviously, then the father of our spirits is personal, as we read in Hebrews 12 and verse 9. A spirit who wants a spiritual worship. He's not impressed with external worship invented by men, nor with pomp, with ceremony, or earthly things, with things that make men happy. God judges the hearts of men. Read 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, and 2 Samuel 14, 25 and 27. Also, we are not to judge by appearance, but because God doesn't judge the outward man. He judges the heart. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. We need to remember that God is a spiritual being. God is a spiritual being, then he seeks spiritual worship. His kingdom is spiritual, and his church is spiritual, because he is a spiritual being. Spiritual worship. Beware of placing too much emphasis on external appearances. Be careful about choosing your own saviors as a solution for his kingdom problems. Read 1 Peter 3, verse 4. God has always been more impressed by the character of believers than the size and prosperity of a given congregation. Example, some select preachers and elders by looking for the shakers and movers, the aggressive introverts, the pushers who meet the people well, sell the church in the community, and are smooth in the pulpit. Do they ever think about their spiritual qualifications? How do they get along with their wives? How do they pray? Are they spiritually minded? Do they have the mind of God? Do they have the character of God? Is it even something they consider? God is not impressed with earthly things. He has always been more impressed by the character of the individual believer than with the size of the congregation or its prosperity. Will God overlook some additions and detractions to his word as long as the church puts on a good show? Some people think so, but you better go back and read Matthew 7:21-23 and 2 John 9-11, because he will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and he only will save those who obey the will of his Father. We're created in God's image. The image of God does not mean his physical likeness, but the existence and exercise of the spiritual nature, or the inner man that we all possess, our soul. We manifest his image when we pursue spiritual things, living like Christ, loving our brother like we're commanded in John 13:34-35, by putting away evil thinking, as we read in Ephesians 4:24. We manifest the image of God when we pursue spiritual things, demonstrated by rational thinking, compassion, and simply seeking to live as Christ lives in us, read Galatians 2:20. Our only hope for fulfillment and true satisfaction for God is obedient faith of his saints. God is our dwelling place, according to Psalms 90:1. Man can never have true rest until he rests with God. God is our dwelling place. He's our refuge. God is our foundation for everything. Only permanence can be found in God. In all generations, people have taken refuge in him. Read Hebrews 11:10-16. He provides a place of security and a true home for the weary, according to Hebrews 4:9. God provides the only solution for man's spiritual needs. The word gives the recommend and the guide that will guide him and lead him to heaven. Men's souls will never find true peace until we are with the Lord, as we will be one day if we are faithful, according to Revelation 20:3-4. You see, God is infinite, and we'll talk more about that later. He has an infinite wisdom. He has infinite goodness. He has infinite knowledge and power and spirit. God is greater than any conception we may have of him. John 14:9. Ephesians 3:20, he can even do more exceeding than we can even imagine. We need to value our spirit. What is made in the image of God? Our inner man, our soul. Men must understand the true value of the soul and guard it as being more important than the physical body. Read Matthew 10:28. God is a spirit, and we are part of that spirit. Man, here's what we need to remember in our first study about God. God does not think like man. He does not act like man. He does not reason like man. And he does not speak as man. He is in a class all by himself. He is a spirit. He is a spiritual being, but he wasn't a created spiritual being. He has always been. The name God means eternal, no beginning, no ending. But he is a spiritual being, and he wants the inner man of each of us to be spiritual in our thinking. And he wants that inner man to be the guiding force in our life, to lead us closer to him, to be like him, and to be in his image. Dear listener, are you truly living in the image of God? Do you understand the spiritual nature of God and the spiritual nature of his kingdom and the work that he's put us here to do? God is a spirit, and all that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, God is a spirit. We will continue our series next week, Lord willing. Please tune in then. Until then, come and worship us with us. Have a good day.